Greetings. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, broadcasting live from beautiful Trout Lake, Washington, otherwise known as UFO and Paranormal Central. We've got an interesting show tonight. I'm really hoping to get a hold of this wonderful contactee, you might say, named Tammy, who's having these incredible experiences in Kentucky, and we're going to keep trying to get a hold of her. But she's on a cell phone, and her voicemail is full. But anyway, hopefully she'll call in, or we'll call her. There's a lot of things I wanted to talk about in the meantime, and you know, later on in the show we'll have some call-ins if people want to call in, and we'll give the numbers. But there's some interesting things happening, and I'm trying to think of how I can diplomatically do this. But recently I was called from, received a phone call from the producers over there at Coast to Coast, and they wanted me to come on the show. And there's a person that I guess will be on Saturday, on Sunday night, named Ed Grimsley, and he's going to talk about all of the UFO activity he's been observing. And they wanted me to validate what he's experiencing, and I told him I couldn't do that, that I can validate that, yeah, definitely we're seeing UFOs, and the night vision goggles are awesome. And you can see probably 20 times the ships that you can see with the naked eye with the night vision goggles. I mean, they're amazing. And we're hoping to get something we can attach to a camera so we can get some incredible footage. But the only problem is that it's with the perception of the viewer. And when somebody keeps saying, oh, there's a war going on, and they're blasting each other out of the sky, and there's capsules going down, and F-15s are shooting them out of the sky, you know, all this exchange going on. Well, we had several other people with the same night vision goggles, and actually they were his goggles, all out in the field, and we just didn't observe that. So basically, you know, walking in integrity, I had to say, well, you know, I can validate that the ships are there and that, you know, they're definitely there. They do power up when they come over the ranch on a regular basis. That's more of a heads up to the people on the ground, so we see them. It's kind of like dazzle duty. They're saying hi. But, you know, as far as fire between the ships, there's been a couple small instances a long time ago that we saw. But, you know, even then we weren't really sure exactly what was going on. But with the night vision, I mean, I was observing, and several other people were observing the exact same ships, and you know, I didn't see any laser fire between the ships. I didn't see the ships going into any kind of evasive maneuver. I didn't observe a ship blowing up or capsules coming out of the ships, and I didn't observe any F-15s coming in and shooting the capsules or any of this stuff. So anyway, I just made it really clear, you know, I'm sorry, I can't validate the war in space going on. I can validate that we are seeing ships, and we do see the ships power up. But, you know, as far as seeing an energy going on between ships, if they're both pacing at the exact same pace and they're traveling together, that could be anything. You know, it could be a transmission. You know, who knows? Maybe they transmit through light. Maybe they're transferring cargo or food or, you know, through some type of extremely advanced technology or people. You know, it could have been the like in Star Trek, you know, the beam me up program. Maybe they're beaming people back and forth. Who knows? I mean, anything could be going on. But again, the problem that we keep running into with this UFO situation is the consciousness in which you seek is the consciousness in which you connect. And the brain, which is perceiving the experience, determines what the experience is. And we've made that very clear over and over again. You don't really see with your eyes, you see with your brain. Your brain decides how much of billions of bits of information it's going to allow to be its reality, and then it catalogs it and adjusts it to the person's belief system. So if you have somebody that's very focused, you know, in the military, or they have a lot of frustration or anger, or they see themselves as victims or whatever, you know, that's the kind of perception you're going to have in this experience. And we've run into that again and again and again. Now, the problem is when you keep perpetuating this, you know, they're coming to eat us, they're coming to slice and dice us, you know, they're going to make human pilaf out of us. You know, all of these Signs movies and War of the Worlds and everything else, you know, not only are you perpetuating the war industry to build more exotic weapons to, you know, go after these off-world visitors, you know, you're also setting up things to where contact is going to be delayed, and you're actually becoming part of the problem, not part of the solution. So anyway, I'm not saying that there isn't anything negative happening. I'm sure there is some, but everything that we've experienced here has been very benevolent, you know, other than, you know, some of our own government, which I think is the biggest problem on the planet. It's not anything coming from the heavens. It's what's already here. That's the big problem. The things coming in now are coming in to assist us in our own evolutionary process and help us with this quantum leap in consciousness that we're going through. And it's time for us to, you know, start rising to the occasion and quit projecting all this other nonsense into the program, you know. So anyway, that's my two cents on that program. And so you won't be hearing me on Coast to Coast anytime real soon. You know, it's not about notoriety. It's not about, you know, your shot at fame or whatever else. It's all about, you know, how is this serving humanity, Earth, and how, you know, are you going to remain in your integrity, and at what point do we have to go within and really evaluate our perceptions and what we're seeing and how we experience the universe, and, you know, is it an evil universe, and is it all out there to get us, or what, you know? And the way I see it, you know, there's two sides to every coin, and I keep hearing over and over all the dark, all the negative. You know, they're abducting us, experimenting on us. They just had Travis Walton on, and they had, I guess, the guy that made the movie. I guess he's Tracy Torme or something, Mel Torme's son. And he made this comment, and he said, well, anybody that says they know what's going on, that, you know, are having contact and things like that, he goes, I just disqualify him right away. And, you know, I go, well, you just disqualified the real knowledge, you know, what's really going on in the bigger picture, basically, and you're keeping everything in the past. And what's sad is, having talked with his brother, you know, concerning the Travis Walton story, and you know, you won't hear him saying all those things happened to him. Basically, what he said is he got too close to the ship powered up, knocked him on his butt, the magnetic fields pretty much rendered him unconscious, maybe even dead, who knows, and they brought him back on the ship, patched him up, and then dropped him off again. That was the extent of that program. And, you know, so, you know, there wasn't body parts floating around and tennis shoes with legs on them and weird catacombs and all these other things that they did. That was, you know, needles going through the eyes and everything. That was all Holly weird, you know, adding their two cents. So anyway, again, we have that program, and unfortunately I see people all the time having contacts and ETs trying to contact these people, but they've got to get past the fear and the negative programming. And we have to do that as a civilization, as a society. You know, people go, why haven't they contacted us? And my first question is, why? You know, what? You know, we're either going to shoot at them, we're going to run from them, we fear them, or we're going to worship them. And all of those things they don't want to have anything to do with. So are we going to rise to the occasion and develop ourselves spiritually and you know, drop this aggressive warlike behavior? And, you know, or basically, are we going to continue with this program, and are they going to continue off in the distance and allow us to self-destruct? I mean, that's the two choices right now. So, you know, basically, you know, humanity as a whole, you know, individually has to rise up and just say, enough, you know, we're not going to do the war anymore. We're going to stop destroying our environment. We're going to start living in harmony with each other in the environment. And, you know, and we're not going to participate or support this nonsense anymore. You know, the destruction, the pollution, the war, all the other nonsense. And when we do that as a whole, individually, there'll be people being contacted, and collectively as a whole, when enough people make that choice, you know, we will be contacted as a whole. But, you know, for me, as far as I'm concerned, you know, if ETs were coming here and they landed and they said, hey, I want to talk to your government, I'd say, why? You know, I'd say, why? You know, steer as far away from them as you can, you know, and, or they'd say, I want to talk to the main religious institutions. Same thing. I'd say, why? You know, there's an old saying, you know, they talk about, absolute power, you know, absolutely corrupts or corrupts absolutely. And, what I've seen is when you move up the power ladder, you know, the power elite, and you go up the ladder, it just gets darker and darker and darker and darker. And that's what it's all about. And what's really sad is that we just do not have the leadership anymore or the people that would be there to, greet these beings that are, advanced enough to sit down and have an experience with them. I think there might be a couple there. I've seen some people, you know, in the House of Representatives, like, you know, in Congress. Dennis Kucinich is one. You know, he could definitely sit down and have coffee with them, maybe Ron Paul, you know, a few people like that, you know, which they could reason with that really do care about the people and they care about this country and where we're going. But there's very few. I'm not into politics. I'm sure there's some more out there, but we don't even have a TV, so we don't really watch all the charades going on concerning politics. But you know, anyway, it's kind of a situation there that seems to be, you know, it to me, it's kind of insane. It's what's that saying? You know, the definition of insanity is, you know, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And that's what we do. You know, it's been very clear, like SETI received another big signal and they know there's something going on, and they come on the air and they said, oh, yeah, we would definitely tell people that we got a signal if we got one. Well, they did. They got a huge signal again, and nobody hears about it other than some whistleblowers, you know, that have been blowing the whistle on it on the inside. And there's a lot of other events going on a regular basis, and you know, they're tracking ships, and ships are flying over their installations, and NASA definitely knows the ships are here, and they have tons of footage, you know, of ships. So it's definitely, you know, we keep thinking these institutions tell us, you know, what's going on, but they're not. We have a caller. Welcome.
Thank you. It's Michelle.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing excellent. How are you?
Doing great.
Well, I wanted to call in and tell you about the benevolent ones that I felt coming and following me home from the Orb conference.
Great.
I didn't feel that they were bad.
Uh-huh.
Or nasty, yeah, or dark.
Yeah. You know, I saw Michelle took actually video of this beautiful ship that actually followed her home or wherever she went to after the conference. And, you know, kind of guided her and was there kind of watching over her and making sure she got to her destination safely. And how'd you feel about the experience?
I thought it was great. It tickled me. Because I didn't feel that they were, I didn't feel they were bad. I didn't feel that they were ready to abduct me or anything like that. I just felt like they were there watching over me because it was late at night and I was, you know, a single woman walking home, actually driving home.
Yeah.
Or back to the place I rented. But I don't know where some of these people, you know, project their own consciousness into it. And they think that, I don't know, maybe they want their 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah, it does seem that way. It's kind of sad because with me, it's like it's kind of as you wish. People are creating their own realities, and they have their reasons for doing what they do, but it's actually interfering quite a bit with the, you know, with, you know, Disclosure Project and making contact and connecting in with these higher beings, you know, so it's...
It makes us look really bad as a society, I think.
Exactly. You know, I would, if I was an ET and somebody's projecting all that nonsense on me and I flew over and I was telepathically connected, you know, I'd fly over and pick up the thought and go, left turn, Clyde, I'm out of here. There's no reason for dropping in any lower than I am or stopping or anything.
Yeah. I've never, you know, all of this is new to me. So I look at it and I think, you know, why me? Why are they trying to contact me? And when I got involved with the orbs, and I found one in my pictures, and I asked them, why are you showing up for me and not for other people or some people you're not showing up for? I heard them say, I was driving in my car one day, and I heard them say that they wanted me to be a messenger for them. And my whole life I've been about peace and love and just loving everybody. It's so simple that I think we've made our life crazy, you know, by focusing on all this, all the negative and constantly looking at fear and I just want to focus on love, and that I think love will lead us. And that's what they were saying to me, was that they want humanity to notice them because they want to come, you know, and teach us about peace and love and how to raise our consciousness.
I agree 100%. I've seen over and over again we had a conference here, and we had this Native American guy that we had several. It was called the Heart of the Hearts. It was the Star Nations gathering, and we had a lot of elders here. And some of them were very tapped in. They were doing ceremony in Sweat Lodge and really put their heart and soul into it. And they had orbs all around them. And I won't mention this one guy's name, but he came in. He goes, oh, you want to see orbs? I'll show you orbs. And he just starts screaming this chant really loud, you know, mm-hmm. totally in his ego. And before he started, we were taking pictures, and there were 16 acres of orbs, wall-to-wall orbs, and he cleared the field.
Wow.
Totally cleared it. They all left, and unbelievable. And they have an extreme disdain for especially male ego, this patriarchal thing going on. And so there was another elder that he was just married, and he had his wife and some kids there, and I said, you know, go out into the field and just hug each other and just totally tap into Creator and Spirit and tell the kids to focus on the orbs again. And so they did, and we took another picture, and this other guy was at the other end of the field chanting off in the distance these things, and all of a sudden all the orbs came back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very, very attracted to the higher frequencies, especially that divine feminine love and the innocence of children are what brings these higher beings or these light beings into play.
It seems like they come when you sing them silly songs, and if you're gathered around a fire and you're
mm-hmm.
focused on spirituality or lightheartedness, that's when I see them the most.
You know, the goofier you get, the more they come.
Yeah, I've never
you know, it's not that. A pious thing. It's not a pious, unworthy prayer program. It's all about having fun and projecting that love and joy and bliss out. And the more you're into your heart and into your joy, the more the field fills up with these beautiful light spheres.
Yeah. That's what I noticed with them. And I think, you know, you're crossing over. When we went to the Orbs conference, I didn't know that much about UFOs or contact or anything like that. I just learned about orbs because they started showing up in my pictures. And then that crosses over into talking about other dimensions and about UFOs. And your presentation really struck me because you talk about the benevolent side of them and these benevolent beings instead of these, like you said, the Hollywood, what Hollywood has programmed us into believing they are. And, you know, I like to go around thinking everybody's good and everybody's great. And I'm sure you point out that it's good to focus on that and just know that there's, just like here on Earth, there are good ones and bad ones. But I think it's important to focus on the good.
Yeah, it's kind of like that old saying, you know, you pray to Allah and tie your camel. your focus is mainly on God or the higher consciousness and energy, but there needs to be a part of you that's aware that there are other unseen influences that you might need to learn how to clear or heal or move them out of your space.
Yeah. True. That's what I'm learning to do now.
Yeah, we teach all that up here. We send the books, both the books, Reunion with Source and Becoming Gods. It has those techniques in there. And I always tell people that it's very, very important to learn these techniques even before you meditate, because you're expanding, you're taking in greater territory. Mm-hmm. And when you expand into that greater territory, not everything within that expansion may not be benevolent or positive, you know, because you do have some discarnate spirits and things of that nature running around. So it's important to learn, you know, if you're going to go journeying off into these expanded states of awareness, to learn how to clear and heal any unseen negative influences. And then your meditations even go vaster. They become more expanded, and you can go out, because you only expand to the level that you feel safe. And if there's something on the outskirts of your expansion, you just stop right there.
So I'm
if you
so
do the
clearing
work, it goes out even further.
Yeah, I'm glad you're teaching people that, because I'm one of those people who, you know, never really learned that. And a lot of the people that I come in contact with are all telling me that I'm so transparent, and that I have to learn those techniques, because I go out there and just believing that everybody's good and everybody's great, and I don't want to go into fear mode, but it's good to have tools to use to protect yourself.
Yeah, you know, part of me says don't change, you know, because the world really needs that. But another part of me says, you know, it's not a bad idea to have a few tools under your belt so you can maintain that, you know, blissful state of that loving state of consciousness.
Well, I'm glad you can teach me that. I need that.
Great. Thanks so much for calling in.
You're welcome.
And, yeah, we'll have to get that up, do some work on that video you took, because that was amazing. You know, when you mailed that to me, I was blown away at that.
Yeah, get that up.
Yeah.
My friendly ship.
Yeah, it just goes to show you there's a lot of good ETs out there, and they're watching over the really good people, you might say. And you know, there's a part of me that goes, boy, why can't they just beam up all these tyrants and these people that are destroying the planet and just take them to some primitive planet that's full of predators and leeches and things like that. Just let them work it out. But they seem to be even more forgiving and benevolent than I am. Thank God.
You're not getting jaded, are you?
What's that?
You're not getting jaded, are you?
Yeah. Well, you know, part of me is going, you know, give me my ship back. You know, I'll take care of things.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's part of evolution. People need to stand up. And that's one of the reasons why this resistance is there, or the negative or evil, whatever you want to call it. It's there because it gives people a chance to stand up to it and regain their power and get out of this victim, persecutor, savior triangle program that we have running here.
Yeah.
But
well, more and more people are banding together, and you're a catalyst for that. We thank you for that.
Oh, thanks. I don't do anything. I just get out of the way.
Yeah, but you bring the information forward, and that's what's important.
Yeah, I remind people of who they are.
Uh-huh.
Which is really what's necessary. We don't need gurus anymore, and we don't need, you know, people, you know, the see me, dig me, I'm so spiritual program. That's been run into the ground. And now we need people that are really empowering people, you know, to make their own personal spirit, God, creator, connection, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, learn to live in harmony with each other and the planet.
Yeah. Well, I think you're finding that. That's why a lot of people are going to WESOC, too, because they're gathering and learning. And everybody, I think it's so important that we all gather together, especially those with like minds. And that's going to help raise the collective consciousness.
And you're having that. You're leading a journey there too to WESAC, not just the conference, but another little mountain trip, you might say.
Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at the website when it's flashing WESAC 2008, May 16th through 18th. Yeah, I'm really excited, and I'm glad you're going to join us on our meditation where we're, you know, I've been called to lead this group of people, and they're all starting to sign up. I thank you for letting people know about it, because we've had quite a few people that learned about it from you contact us and hopefully they'll be joining our trip, but we'll be doing some meditations, and we've learned about the city of Telos on the fifth dimension underneath Mount Shasta, and Ashlyn from Shasta Vortex Tours is going to lead us on that meditation, so we're really excited about that. That'll be on the Friday that WESOC starts that evening. We'll go early in the morning. And
you know what's interesting about that is several things. I've seen the people. I was up on the mountain doing a meditation. I saw this beautiful blonde woman in these flowing robes, walked right past me and smiled and looked at me and just kept going down the hill, and she walked right past this group of about 10 people or so or more, and right down through the middle of them, and nobody saw her.
Only you?
Yeah, not one of the, no, there's another woman that was on the mountain meditating the same time I was, and she saw her too, and we went down there because we wanted to, we just felt this real strong energy and connection. We were trying to connect with her and find out who she is. And she just vanished. She
wow.
walked between these other people, walked behind a big rock, and just disappeared. And she didn't come out either side, and you could see beyond the rock, and she just vanished. And
I've heard stories like that. You know, I didn't know much about any of this. Even 6 months ago, I really didn't know that much about it. And all of a sudden, I started getting impressions and hearing things, and more and more people started telling me about it, and it's just been a series of divine synchronicities that have led me to this. It's not something that I decided I was going to do. I feel like I was really getting messages and being called to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what's going to happen. I can't make any promises at all, but I know that I didn't ask for it. It found me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just trying to honor that. And
well, yeah, there's another synchronicity too, is that last time I was in Shasta, this guy says, you've got to go to this place. And he goes, that's where you want to go, and you want to hang out there. And so it was quite interesting, the place he was talking about. I don't want to mention it because we don't want to have a big army showing up there. But I don't want to mention it over the air, but it's exactly the place that your guide was talking about.
Mm.
And the same spot, and I'm going, okay, you know, this is pretty obvious, there's something going down here. And and there's several synchronicities that happen right in a row about this trip. So
I know that's how I feel. Oh, my dog kind of,
yeah,
make noise here. That's how I feel about it, because when I started hearing that I was supposed to lead people to Mount Shasta, I thought, well, who's talking to me? Who is this? You know, I wanted to just kind of find out. And one thing led to another. And then when I met you at the Orb Conference and found out that you were speaking there, I knew that was one of the synchronicities. I went,
mm-hmm.
okay, so that there's a connection here. And then I met another woman who had led a group of people to Mount Shasta. I guess 160 people ended up going.
Wow.
And so she had some, like a little book that she wrote, and I just thought it was interesting that of all the people there, you were the two people I met, and there was a connection there to Mount Shasta and to doing this meditation. And when I came back from the Orbs Conference, I wasn't even really planning it, and I just kept hearing it again and again, and I was on the computer, just some random email, my finger clicked on a website. I wasn't even, you know, really trying to do anything. And I ended up on this website for a bunch of different links to Mount Shasta. And I finally just threw my hands up in the air and I said, all right, I know you're trying to show me something. I just lead me where I'm supposed to go, because I obviously you're trying to talk to me and I haven't been listening. And so they led me right into, you know, this woman and her tour, and they pretty much just led me to all the places I'm supposed to go. And I'm just being open and saying that I just want to be a servant and I want to help. And so I think that's where their focus is just finding people who really have no agenda. I have no agenda. I just want to go help. And if there's something that I can do and bring people to it, and those people feel the call, they know who they are, because I realize, okay, I guess I'm one of them as well. But I'm meeting the people, and as they join the tour, I can feel which people are meant to go when just talking to them,
mm-hmm.
and when they call in or when they write, you can just feel which people are hearing the call. And I don't mean for it to sound all airy fairy or anything like that. It's just it's undeniable. Basically,
yeah.
it's just undeniable. And I'm just going with it because I think that there's something really important that's happening, and I don't know all of the details, and I don't know exactly what it is, but deep inside of me, when I access that internal knowingness and that wisdom, I can really sense that there's something happening on a grander scale than I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really feel like I need to know what it is.
I just
want to show
unfold.
Up.
It'll all unfold. You just have to go on those inner promptings, you know, and you know, it's like that Merlin cartoon or whatever, he's talking about the kid, King Arthur, was going to show up, and he goes, there's a kid, he's going to show up, he's going to end up right in this chair, and he goes, what's his name? He goes, I don't know his name, but he's this old, and he goes, that's all I know, and so the owl's arguing with him, Archimedes, and sure enough, this kid falls through the roof trying to get an arrow and lands right in the chair, you know. And he goes, I don't know all the details and everything else, and he goes, it doesn't matter, you know,
That's how I feel like I'm living that right now, because I really don't know all the details. I just feel like I'm doing my part, which is showing up.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see what happens. That's what they want us to do. So
yeah.
At least that's what I
thought. Now, if somebody wanted to go on this trip, how would they get in contact with you?
They can. My website's being built right now at www.acircleofradiantlove.com.
Mm-hmm.
And when they go there, they can email me there. There's a link that emails me. And then I can send them information.
Do you want to give your email? Would that be easier?
They can email me at my regular email, which is msmichelle@cox.net. cox.net.
I didn't hear that. What was it again?
msmichelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, @cox.net.
Okay, so it's Cox, it's COX.
And that's my personal email address.
Okay.
But if they go to acircleofradiantlove.com, there's a link there as well to email me directly from the website.
Great. They can sign up for the trip and
yep.
hopefully meet us there and see what unfolds.
Won't that be fun?
Yeah, it's going to be great.
We're going to have a group of fun people. It's only the people that hear the call that will come with us, and those are the people we're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, thank you so much for calling in.
You're welcome. Have a great night.
Can't wait to see you in Shasta.
I know. It's going to be fun.
All righty.
Have a good one.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Bye. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. I'm going to give out the call lines. I'm hoping that Tammy's out there and calls us in, because they're having phenomenal activity there in Texas, and she should be listening to the show, and who knows, we might be able to get her on the line, but I'll go ahead and give the call-in numbers in case somebody else wants to give us a ring and talk about their UFO experiences or dreams or visions or anything else they want to talk about. Let me give you the numbers here. The number for calling in is 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. Or our Canadian friends out there can call 888-815-9756. Alrighty, so we're going to try to kind of connect in with Tammy and find out about these awesome experiences over there in Kentucky. And we've been having a little trouble connecting in, which is not uncommon with this, with the UFO experience. There's also another line, too, 530-876-3222. And if we can't get a hold of Tammy, feel free to call in and tell us about your own experiences. I want to go a little bit further about what's been happening here at the ranch. We do have a pair of those night vision goggles, and we've been watching the skies lately, and we are just seeing all kinds of activity, just incredible activity, and we're seeing these ships that look like something out of Star Trek. I mean, big ships cruising in our upper atmosphere, or could be. You can't tell how big they are because we don't know how high they are. But, you know, things with one big light with two other small lights above it, you know, towards the back. And there's no strobes on these things, and there's no red or green running lights. They're definitely not commercial or military craft. All right. We have a caller.
Yes, you do. Hey, James, it's Dean. How you doing?
Dean, how you doing? Haven't heard from you in a while.
Great. Yeah, haven't seen you in a few months. How's Rip and Carrie and all those guys?
Oh, doing great. Carrie's back in Texas. Doing his thing, but how's you know, for the people that don't know who you are, Dean's a pilot and he flies in this area quite often. He's taken some incredible footage of some UFOs in our neighborhood. Have you gotten any more pictures lately? Or
you know, I really haven't, James. I haven't. You know how cloudy it's been and the weather's been kind of bad, and
yeah,
you know, with all the trails that are, you know, spreading and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so I haven't got up and really taken any pictures. I was actually up the other night, and we seen some of the higher flying ships, which was kind of neat because I haven't seen any of those for a while. But yeah, I haven't got any new photographs since the St. Helens ones.
Well, those other photographs were incredible, right around the mountain there, and. We have on our website, there's people coming here and just leaving their camera shooting, and then they go back to their computer, you know, and start looking at the photographs, and you know, wouldn't you know, they're getting triangles, just massive cylinder motherships that are as big as the top of the mountain, and all kinds, you know. It's interesting, there's not just one kind. There's little speeders with antennas on them, and there seems to be, you know, four or five different kinds they're getting pictures of in the daytime now.
Wow. Now, that's been recently.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I haven't, I've been busy, and I've been having to work on Saturday night, so I've been missing a lot of your shows, unfortunately, but God, been meaning to get up that way. I actually bought some property up kind of in the Morton area. You know,
oh,
where
okay.
That's, yeah, that's right on the other side of the mountain there, and that's actually where we were seeing a lot of ships, I think it was like last Wednesday night.
Yeah, that's where Kenneth Arnold lost sight of the ships, right? It's on the west side of Mount Adams, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where he lost sight. They actually descended on the western slopes of Mount Adams, which is basically our front yard. That's what we're looking up at, the south and southwest side.
But, yeah, we've seen some high ones, and we've seen a couple real low ones, too. But like I said, it hasn't really been clear around here lately. So.
Yeah. Have you ever witnessed any, I don't know if you heard the first part of the show, but, you know, we saw them bring some things from the ground and fire up at ships once. It was a few years ago.
Yeah, you said it was on the right-hand side of the mountain back.
Yeah, and that was some back-engineered toys that we were playing with, but, you know, there's you probably heard the first part of the show where this one guy had saying there's this massive battle going on, and all I know is that we didn't see it, and we were all here with the same. Were you here when he had the night goggles?
Yeah, I sure was. That was like the 3D?
Yeah.
Yep, I sure was.
Did you see any laser fire between the ships and capsules coming out of the ships and F-15 shooting the capsules?
Boy, you know, I didn't see any of that stuff. Actually, you know, the lights on the mountains that were coming up and everything, you couldn't see them from the naked eye, but we were seeing those just flashing all over the place.
Yeah.
With those goggles. But, yeah, I didn't see. You know, he said that was kind of later on at night they were watching that, I think.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had the goggles, and I was looking at the exact, because he had three or four pair, and I was looking at the exact same ships he was looking at, and I didn't see any laser fire. And, you know, if ships are fighting, there would be evasive maneuvers, you know. You would think they would be doing something, and they're just cruising along side by side, and they did the usual power ups, you know, that we've all experienced, where they on the ground, they're more like saying, "Hey, we're right here," you know.
Yeah.
But you know, I didn't see any exchange, you know, and I couldn't validate it, so I guess I got bumped off talking about it on Coast to Coast. But what's sad about that is it plays right into the threat agenda, and that we need to build more exotic weapons and treat this with an aggressive stance. And
I didn't see any of that. I just when we're up there, we just feel good about what everything that's going on up there. And I think you were talking about how they're kind of done with the old stuff and big powerful, the real deals here now, and they aren't going to have any of that going on anymore. So
yeah, it seems like the benevolent ones are here in force now, and they're really the greater power in the universe. There's a small little contingent, of some beings that aren't really in our highest and best good. But that seems to be a closing chapter in our evolutionary process, and kind of going out the door right now. And I think it's time to embrace the rest of the universe in peace and say, hey, help us out down here. This planet's a mess.
Yeah, exactly. And you were saying that, they're ready to, all we have to do is ask, but the right people have to do the asking to get the big stuff done. Like you said, they could clean up the oceans with no problem, heal the ozone and clean up the, the air and all that stuff and help us out. But, if the governments don't want to jump in and the oil companies and the, food and drug and whoever else don't want to play ball, then, they're just going to kind of let us do whatever we're doing. I was going to ask you your throw on kind of, we got the presidential election coming up, and are you feeling good about that or bad, or you think there's going to be some changes, or?
It's same old stuff,
Yeah, same old stuff, and they're just kind of a
same old, same old, same old, It's like which puppet you going to vote for, they all have the same strings.
Right, and they kind of
I think Ron Paul or Dennis Kucinich are about the only people that I saw that had a real strong message of integrity and self-empowerment and, ending the war and stopping all this nonsense that we're doing, really for a message for the people. I think the jury's still out on Barack Obama. He may do a really good job. I don't know. I think that's kind of up in the air.
Right. How about any of the Free Power? Are you talking to any of those guys lately, or...
Yeah, it's all over the internet right now. People are, learning to split water and converting their cars. There are so many people converting their cars, especially with this massive gouging being done by the gas companies, that people are getting double the gas mileage, and there's a lot of technologies all over the internet right now, and people are actually, it's pretty simple technology.
Interesting. Now they're splitting the water right at the carburetor point. Is that right? So they're filling their gas tank literally with water, and it's being split into.
No, what they're doing is they're putting these jars. That some people are just using one jar, and they're getting a huge amount of gas mileage increase. But other people are taking five of these jars, and they're almost like mason jars, and they have a certain coil that goes through them, and they're hooked to your battery. And I don't know exactly how it works yet, but they're actually splitting the water into hydrogen and oxygen, and it's going straight into the intake. It goes right into the intake, and so when your car's running, this is going in, and they're getting double the gas mileage and things like that. I think eventually, if you set it up right, you could probably run the car entirely on water.
Yeah, because that's, if you don't have to have big hydrogen cells out, and you could run the water and it split right before it goes into the engine, that would be very safe and definitely the way to go. And you can run power plants that way, and you can run, literally anything.
They have other technology too, the fuelless energy technology that has no fuel whatsoever, and it's out there. What's sad is that we have had this technology for a long, long time, but it's tied up in the black projects, just because of the condition of the environment and the greenhouse effect, we're under global warming and everything else. It's a matter of national security to bring this stuff out now. It's not hoarding it any further, I think, is one of the biggest travesties, if you want to talk about treason. But, to let the planet just collapse, the environment collapse, and everything else happen, and withhold this technology, I think is the ultimate sin.
Yeah, that's just, you know, it's just been suicide, really. And,
yeah.
And, God, you have those machines that you could actually watch on your DVD.
Yeah, the fieldless energy. They're also counter-gravity as well. But unfortunately, the scientist that has that technology had to dismantle it and just walk away from it because he had his lab burned, you know, blown up, and his family threatened.
And, yeah.
You know, and that's the problem. It all goes back to leadership. You know, the technology's there.
Yeah.
And the people are there to bring this out. But where's the protection, you know, and where's the leadership that's going to buck up and say, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what I was kind of hoping you know, the new president and vice president, I was hoping they were going to really bring this out strong and you know, let's get with the part of the answer rather than part of the problem end of it.
I think anybody that's holding back this technology and anybody that's creating a disservice to the people and, you know, that's running the same old program is just in for a really rocky road because, you know, karma's coming full circle and it's being amplified and, you know, no rock is being left unturned and people's masks are all coming down and we're seeing real clearly who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're all about, and it's just a matter of time, and you know, that's why you see these people are, no matter how hard they try to sugarcoat it and spin it and everything else, their past is catching up to them, and they're just dropping like flies, you know, one after another.
Yeah, it's getting crazy. I tell you, these chemtrails, they're just spraying them just a ton, and now there's like 10 million websites on that alone.
Yeah.
And still nobody seems to, you know, to really notice or know what's going on or have any idea. So
I always tell people when the big shift is happening and when we really have our government back and the power is coming back to the people and everything, when you see the chemtrails stop.
Yeah.
As long as those are going, you know, you still have no say-so whatsoever.
Right.
And basically the bottom line is the stuff, I don't care what they say, the chemicals that they're spraying in those chemtrails they're deadly. I mean,
yeah.
They can be deadly. They're making people very sick. Some people are actually checking out, you know, and with upper respiratory and intestinal problems. And, you know, your body just isn't made to assimilate, you know, ethylene dibromide and aluminum oxide and barium, you know, along with all these other little things we're finding in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't take rocket scientists or biochemistry to figure this out, you know.
Yeah.
Spray poison in the upper atmosphere, it falls down and people, you know,
I tell you what, I work around a lot of people and know a lot of people, and all of a sudden, within like 3 days, everybody gets sick.
Yeah.
And so I kind of tease them. I say, well, did you breathe some air today?
You know? Yeah. Did you look up in the sky?
Right.
You know?
Did you look up in the sky and did you breathe some air today?
Yeah. Like
I say, hey, you know what? If you don't breathe air, then this doesn't affect you at all. But if you do, you might want to look up and do some reading and researching and, you know,
because
this is you and your family and really everybody. And
I would tell people, well, about 3 days ago, did you see that big crisscross pattern in the sky and watch the blue skies turn toxic gray?
Yep.
Well, your body's reacting to that, you know?
Yep. And I watched it happen again today, and, you know, I see it all the time. And
oh, yeah.
And I tell you what, they fly directly down by your place down there.
Yeah, I think they give us a little extra batch here, you know?
Yeah, I think they give you a little extra down there, because they fly down there, and then I see them turn it on, and then turn it off, and then turn it on, turn it off, and turn it on, you know, and turn it off down that way. And when I was down there, me and you were standing out there watching it, you know, go on for forever, and...
you go into town, and everybody's sick.
Yeah, everybody's sick.
I mean, they're all sick, and they don't know, they're going, God, where did this come from, you know,
And I tell you what, I talk to doctors and everything else, and they know nothing of it. And, you know, then I tell them, and I say, well, check this out. And then I see them a month later, hey, did you look at that? No. Okay, well, you're in here, you're in the medical field. I'm not a doctor. I'm not in the medical field. And you're treating people with pretty much the same symptoms, and yet you aren't going to check this out, and you won't even go outside and look up in the sky.
Yeah, they go, heck, I don't want to risk my program or lose my license.
Yeah,
or, you know, I'm sitting here, Fat City.
Yeah. Yeah, I said, it's right in your face. You know, I'm
yeah,
not making
yeah,
it up.
Yeah, a lot of them are going, hey, you know, this is great. You know, I'm doing a bang-up business here.
Yeah, yeah. And then I tease other people. They say, oh, those are just contrails. I said, okay, well, what's that? And they try to tell me, and I say, okay, well, let's go out here. That guy just turned his engines off. Is that what you're telling me? Oh, look, he just turned them back on again. And, oh, now he turned them back off. And I said, no, that's not, you know, how it works.
But, yeah. Well, you know, you see other planes flying right along with the chemtrail planes, and they go from under them and over them with no contrail, or
yeah.
just a small little contrail, if any.
Yeah,
and some with nothing. You go, well, why isn't this guy leaving a contrail?
Right.
And contrails only last for just a few seconds, you know, behind the plane, a normal contrail.
Yep.
And these things go from horizon to horizon.
Yeah, and they stop and they start again and stop
yeah.
and start again. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah, and they have these tic-toe patterns, you know, tic-tac-toe patterns or X patterns right over areas that usually don't have air traffic. So
yeah, yeah.
It's undeniable. Any common sense person, but I think
yeah.
it almost goes back to the days of Hitler. He said, if you want to get away with something, do something just so dark and dirty people won't even look at it.
Right.
They won't want to accept it. And,
yeah, and it's funny. I'll tell them, and it's going to be everything except what it really is.
Yeah.
You know, they're either burning diesel in these planes now or something else is going on. Or you know, I've heard about every excuse you can think of. And,
yeah.
And,
yeah, I've heard everything from the upper atmosphere is changing to the new jet fuels are doing that, too. But you know what? It doesn't add up because why are they flying these crisscross patterns and X patterns over areas where there's usually no air traffic? I mean,
right. And it's all, you know, they go from north to south and south to north, and, you know, it's always blowing inland, too.
Oh, yeah.
And so,
watch right before a storm comes in. They lay a huge pattern down right in front of a storm front, and they let the storm front carry the rest.
Yeah. Well, I see great big ones, and they're over already formed stuff, and there's a big shadow coming down into the clouds below it.
Yeah.
You've probably seen that a bunch of times.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
There, I guess another big piece of the ice shelf broke off. Did you hear that a couple weeks
ago?
Yeah,
it's bigger than Manhattan or something like that. And they say it's five times bigger. I can't remember how big it is, but it's massive.
Yeah. Well, you know that Al Gore film they had, The Inconvenient Truth?
Yeah.
And you seen the big piece that broke off then?
Yeah.
Was it as big as that piece?
I know the Larsen Ice Shelf, just massive chunks of, we keep hearing over and over again, and they keep, I don't know why they use Manhattan or something, or New York or whatever, but they always use that for a reference. You know, it's this much bigger than Manhattan, you know, and I don't know why they keep saying Manhattan.
Right, probably because nobody knows how big that is. And,
yeah.
You know.
This is in the Antarctic, too. This is where the stuff's above ground that is going into the water, and that's what rises, you know, creates the ocean rising. And
Right, because the stuff that's already underwater is going to stay actually, it's going to get smaller once it melts, because when it freezes, it expands, so that's a different thing. Hey, how about the trip up to the poles? Are you guys still on for that, or...?
As far as I know, it's still on the books. No date has been set yet.
Are you still thinking about going? Or?
Yeah, I am, definitely. I'm definitely thinking about taking that trip. And
Yeah, that'd be neat.
Yeah, it's be interesting to see how things unfold. I mean, before, you used to have an icebreaker to get there and to bust in to get to that place, and now it's pretty much all open water.
Yeah, that's what you were saying. And now you guys can get right up in there and...
Yeah, wait another year, and you can probably do it in a rowboat, you know.
Right. There you go.
Oh, all the way to the interior.
Yeah, I tell you what. Hey, you going to be around for a couple weeks, or you got any conferences or doing anything? Or?
Yeah, I've got the WESAC Festival May 16th. I'll be speaking there, but between now and then, I'm kind of like in and out, but I'm here most of the time. So.
Okay. Yeah, it's just I've just been so busy. I've been wanting to get up and see you guys and, you know, come up, spend a couple days with you and bring the kids and all that stuff.
Yeah, do that. Give us a ring and we'll get out in the field and get the cameras going. And I got a beautiful one. Flew right over it last night. And I go, well, we need to go to Heavens Above and make sure this isn't the space shuttle because it was just huge.
Yeah.
You know, and it was coming from south behind us, you know, going north. And so... I'm looking at it, and I wonder if that is the space shuttle, and all of a sudden this thing just exploded into a huge light, you know, and made it very clear it wasn't
the space shuttle.
And then we looked it up, and it definitely was not, you know.
Yeah,
it wasn't Genesis or the space shuttle or any of the major satellites.
Yeah, it was talking to you. Hey, you know what I've done? You know, I take people out and I show them, and, you know, I've got good vision, but a lot of people, oh, those are satellites and this, that, and the other things. So I've been taking a piece of paper and holding it up, and you can see it bobbing back and forth and all of a sudden changing patterns. And if you have something straight and line it up with its trajectory, you can actually see it wobbling and bobbing and,
oh, yeah,
you know, slowing down, speeding up and getting brighter, and then kind of taking right-hand turns and different things. And
yeah,
and that's kind of been helping the people I've been trying to show that.
Well, you know, I'm really hoping to track down some really good night vision I can screw right into the camera. And if I do that, if I have a good setup there, we can get incredible footage. But I mean, they're pretty spendy, you know. So
yeah.
I don't know if we're going to be able to get that together. But we'd have so much footage, we wouldn't know what to do with it.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
You guys did okay through the winter? You got generators up working? No.
Yeah,
power
we're
outages.
We're still repairing a lot of damage done with that 10-foot. Snow on the level.
Oh,
here,
is that right? See, I didn't hear.
We're
about
just about
that.
Done. No, we're ready. We're ready to go. Those people want to come up and camp and see the.
Yeah. Okay. 10 foot. You got snow up there right now?
No, it's gone basically.
Okay. Geez, 10 feet. Is that a record or?
Yeah, I think so. But we're pushing the end of the hour here. We're going to have to sign off. So I can't thank you enough for calling in, Dean. And definitely don't be a stranger there. Come up and see us soon.
Definitely. I'll get back with you guys and I'll see you soon, James.
All righty.
Okay, have a nice night.
Great.
Yep, bye.
Well, we've reached the end of the hour. This is James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Well, I guess we'll try to get Tammy on another time, and she's had some incredible experiences there in Kentucky, and hopefully maybe next week we can get her experiences on the air. Have a great evening, and watch the skies. There's a lot of activity there, and, you know, there's more to Earth than what's happening in front of your feet. Anyway, have a great evening. Good night.